call me pudgy, portly, or stout, cause they tell me once again who's fat. Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, The Independent, New York Times, Rolling Stone, BGO Records, and Entertainment Weekly. This opening number, Fat, is brought to us by Weird Al Yankovic and his takeoff on Michael Jackson's Bad. And this being January, the month when all of our New Year's resolutions kick in, we start exercising, because everything we've eaten during the holidays, from Thanksgiving all the way through. So we'll be hearing more about exercise rock later on in today's program, and we'll close it out with that kind of music as well. You know I'm fat, fat, I'm fat. You know it, you know. Our trivia questions come to us today from Richard Dunnigan's Doo-Wop Oldies Quiz and www.triviaplane.com. Multiple choice questions. Question number one, Rock Around the Clock was used in what movie? Was it A, Rebel Without a Cause, B, Blackboard Jungle, C, The Wild Ones, or D, Birth of a Nation? Hint, this movie was made in 1955 and starred Glenn Ford. Question number two, what was the Eagles' first number one single? Was it A, Best of My Love, B, Hotel California, C, Take It Easy, or D, Theme from a Summer Place? Hint, here's a short snippet from that song, originally part of their 1974 album, On the Border. The song reached number one on the charts as a single in early 1975. So what's the name of that? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's programs. But first, transitions. Today in Rock History by BGORecords.com, and today is the weekend of January 15 and January 16. What were the number one hits? Well, back in 1964 this weekend, it was the Dave Clark Five with Glad All Over. And back in 1972, it was Don McLean with American Pie this weekend at number one. And Leo Sayer, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, back in 1977 this weekend at number one. In 1977 also, maybe it was on Sunday, the Eagles' Hotel California was at number one. In 1983, Men at Work, Down Under was number one this weekend. And back in 1993, 10 years after that, Bryan Adams with So Far So Good at number one. If you were born on January 15th, you share a birthday with Gene Krupa, the jazz drummer, born on that day in 1909. And Don Van Fleet, Captain Beefheart, born on that day, January 15, 1941. He just recently passed away, by the way. Ronnie Van Zant, Lynyrd Skynyrd, born on January 15, 1949, and Melvin Gale of ELO, born on January 15, 1952. Or if you were born on January 16, you share a B-Day with Bob Bogle of the Ventures. He was born on January 16, 1937, and Sharday, she was born on January 16, 1960. Deaths on January 16 include David Seville, Alvin and the Chipmunks, 1972. He died on January 16th in 72. Miscellany in rock history this weekend. Well, back in 1955, it was Billboard reporting that music with an R&B beat is no longer regarded as a passing phase by major recording firms. And back in 1961, Motown Records signs the Supremes this weekend. And back in 65, 4 years later this weekend, the Temptations hit the chart with My Girl, their first number one hit. Back in 1967, 2 years after that, U.S. television censorship hits the Rolling Stones when they appear on Ed Sullivan's show singing Let's Spend Some Time Together rather than The Night Together. Back in 1968, John Fred and the Playboy Band go gold with Judy in the Disguise with Glasses. That same year, this weekend, Cream hits the charts with White Room. And back in 1971, George Harrison releases My Sweet Lord this weekend. And 1972, a year later this weekend, Elvis Presley draws the biggest ever TV audience with live worldwide concert telecast from Honolulu. And it was 20 years ago this weekend that Sean Lennon's updated version of his father's Give Peace a Chance is released to coincide with the UN's midnight deadline for Iraq to withdraw from Kuwait. And finally, back in 1996 this weekend, it was Jimmy Buffett and Bono of U2 escape unhurt when Jamaican authorities open fire on Buffett's seaplane, mistaking it for a drug trafficker's plane.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from the bodies in the sand.
This next article is brought to us by Jim Fasili, The Wall Street Journal, published on the 5th of January, 2011. Beware Gen Xers who can't let go. A caution as we begin the year 2011 in music. Be wary of sentimental members of Generation X who will try to abuse their growing sway. With the aid of promoters willing to indulge their biases, these fans, critics, and bloggers who came to identify with rock in the 1980s and early 90s may finally push baby boomers from their throne of inordinate influence. This could be very good for all of us. Soon we may no longer have to suffer claims of how spectacularly gifted was every artist who played the Monterey Pop Festival, Woodstock, and other late 60s and early 70s pop culture landmark events. We all know boomers who have bludgeoned us with opinions formed in some part by major label marketing departments. They confuse their affection for a much-hyped album or band with evidence of artistic merit. Much like those blowhard boomers, some Gen X music tastemakers are beginning to muscle up behind a similar chauvinism, as if any sloppy out-of-the-mainstream rock band that failed to win approval from MTV in its glory days is worthy of rediscovery. It's an attitude fed by the increasing number of bands from the 80s and early 90s willing to pay tribute to themselves. In an era when album sales continue to plummet and concert attendance is down, sometimes it's a wise strategy to revisit the past. On Friday and Saturday, Weezer's Memories Tour arrived in Chicago, featuring the band's debut album and Pinkerton, released in 1994 and 1996, respectively. The article skips down. In October, My Morning Jacket played 5 dates in New York City, performing one of its first 5 albums per night. During that engagement, Jim James and the group proved they're not only one of rock's best live bands, but also that they tinker with their signature sound from disc to disc. Neither short-term visit to the past by these bands can be seen in the same light as Roger Waters' recent note-for-note revival of Pink Floyd's The Wall. Mr. Waters' de facto admission that he'll have nothing new to say. The pass seems a particularly passion among some fans of what was once known as alternative rock, and a market has developed to meet that demand. In 2005, the promoters All Tomorrow's Parties, ATP, began its annual Don't Look Back series, in which alt-rock bands are asked to look back and perform one of their earlier albums in its entirety. The article skips down. In its way, ATP and other similar festivals that emphasize music from the recent past aren't much different from those 50s and early 60s-minded doo-wop and oldies rock shows, the kind that turn up with troubling regularity on PBS. It's a trip down memory lane. Nostalgia is a death move, says the Smashing Pumpkins' Billy Corgan in the Journal last week. He asked, when Sonic Youth and Pavement are out there playing those old records, isn't that throwing up the white flag? Yes, it is, though one might suggest Sonic Youth did and can still do great new work, while Pavement hasn't done anything for about 20 years, despite last year's reunion tour. For every reappearance of an intriguing mid-80s band, there will be other bands who may have said something once or twice decades ago and are doing nothing of merit now. Better to remember them fondly and seek out the next generation of musicians they influenced, or demand from them new music that's as challenging as their classics. That's a more appropriate tribute than encouraging them to give up and run in place. An obsession with the past keeps us from enjoying the present. Once again, Jim Fusilli, The Wall Street Journal. This next article is brought to us by The Week magazine, published on the 30th of July, 2010. Review of reviews, books. You Never Gave Me Your Money, The Beatles After the Breakup. This is by Peter Doggett, and it's published by Harper Publishing, 390 pages at $24.99. Maybe the Beatles never really did break up, says David L. Ulan in Los Angeles Times. That's one of the striking implications of author Peter Doggett's elegant and deeply researched new portrait of the long, complicated afterlife of history's most beloved rock band. In popular memory, April 1970 was the moment when John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr went their separate ways. But Doggett has found a new lens through which to consider the band after all these years. By focusing on the business entanglements that both bound them together and drove them irrevocably apart, he makes the famous split feel like a footnote to a larger tale. Though the Fab Four would not record or perform together again before John Lennon's 1980 murder, it's tantalizing to learn just how close that prospect often was. The Beatles aren't heroes in this book, said the Washington Post. They come across as consistently self-absorbed, bratty, and more than anything else confused about how to move forward without one another. But Doggett sympathizes with them. Their 1967 decision to incorporate as Apple Music Ltd. helped the Beatles avoid the draconian British income taxes that pushed the Rolling Stones into exile, but it locked them into intramural money disputes when they most needed breathing room as artists. The business feud still weighed on Lennon-McCartney when they took tentative steps towards reuniting. In early 1975, they even briefly made plans to hole up together in New Orleans to start writing songs again. Doggett's emphasis on money helps clarify what the real tragedy was, says Hugo Lindgren in Bloomberg Businessweek. By the late 60s, former pals McCartney and Lennon were fighting over nothing and everything like hurt lovers, yet none of the band's handlers did what any enlightened business manager should have done, hired a shrink to end all the psychological warfare. After all, they were already a money-making machine. Just imagine what the Fab Four could have raked in over the next decade if they'd stayed together. The suits who watched passively as the band unraveled were guilty as one of the worst managerial blunders in the history of the entertainment industry.
Have you seen the picket piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the picket piggies stirring up the dead. Always have clean sheds to play around with.
the Beatles, Piggies, from the White Album. So what do you know about today's featured genre, exercise rock? Did you even knew there was such a thing? It's amazing what you find on the internet if you plug in those keywords. Whole bunch comes out. And this article by Mary Beth Andronitis, downloaded on the 11th of January 2011, from http://exercise.lovetoknow.com, top cardio songs of all time. If you're looking to add a new iPod playlist to listen to while at the gym, consider creating a selection of top cardio songs of all time. This collection of tunes will be sure to get you motivated and stay that way during your entire workout. About cardio songs, if you're going to do a cardio workout at least 3 to 5 times a week, then you need a list of up-tempo songs to keep your body and mind going. Studies have shown that listening to music while exercising can not only improve your workout, but its results as well. Individuals tend to work out harder for longer periods of time when they have fun listening to music. These tunes make exercise seem more like fun than a chore by providing a distraction from the work you are actually doing. Tips for picking motivating tunes. Choosing the right music for your workout can make all the difference between having to exercise and wanting to exercise. Here are a few tips to help you choose the right cardio music, which in turn will enhance your fitness routine. Number 1, pick a song that is fast-paced with an upbeat tempo. That's 120 to 140 beats per minute. Use a reliable iPod or MP3 player so your cardio songs can be easily downloaded and grouped together into playlists. This will make selecting your songs simpler. Number 3, keep it personal. Listen to music that you like. Don't let anyone talk you into anything else. Match the music to your routine and movements of your body. If you plan on walking at a fast pace, your tune should reflect that. Dare to be different. Experiment with popular cardio songs that you otherwise never thought you'd like. You may surprise yourself. What are some of the top cardio songs of all time? Well, because musical taste is extremely personal, there really isn't a published list of top cardio songs of all time. However, there are many tunes that definitely top many exercise playlists, most of which are either rock and roll, hip-hop, rap, pop, or even disco. It's interesting to note that the advent of remixing allows for practically any genre of music to be used for exercise. The top popular songs from Fitness Magazine, which released a reader's favorites list of top popular workout songs. The list included Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back and Christina Aguilera's Ain't No Other Man. Top country songs for exercise. This was done by the Best Songs website. Included 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton and Cotton Eye Joe by Joe Rednex. Top disco songs. Disco songs definitely have a beat that you can move with, so it's not surprising to find these songs on the top of an exercise playlist. Include Get Down Tonight by Casey and the Sunshine Band and Hot Stuff by Donna Sumner. Top rock songs. Who doesn't love a good rock and roll tune when exercising? These songs will help your adrenaline going. Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen's on that list, along with Dancing with Myself by Billy Idol. A final note, while exercising is important, having the right music to help you move is just as significant. But remember, just because you have an iPod full of invigorating cardio music doesn't mean you should overdo it. Take your time, build up your endurance. You can always add more exercise and more music to your routine. So let's listen to a sample of hits from the 60s, from the 70s, from disco, and from the 80s, and also one from the Beatles we'll start out with as well, which, when remixed, allow for great exercise. So first off, the Beatles. And now, how about a rock song from the 60s that's been remixed for exercise? Get out on the highway, looking for adventure. Makes you want to get up and exercise, doesn't it? Now, how about one from the 70s remixed for exercise? Of course, we can't leave out disco music. How about one from there? And, of course, we also have the 1980s, so here's a remixed for exercise song from the 80s. After time. Along these same lines, we see this article by Lee Dai, published in abcnews.com on April 1, 2010, entitled Study, Exercise, and Music Clear the Brain. Researcher shows listening to music during workouts keeps your brain alert. Exercise is good for the body as well as the psyche, according to SCADs of scientific research. But here's a new wrinkle. If you listen to music while exercising, your brain will probably work better, too. Article skips down. The results of this study were very convincing. On average, participants performed more than twice as well on a verbal fluency test after listening to music while exercising than they did after exercising without music. When there was no music, there was no change. Music enhances the frontal lobe. Listening to music is a more complex endeavor than it seems on the surface. The human brain has to sort out tones and timing and sequencing of various sounds to comprehend music. So according to theory, that should fire up the frontal lobe of the brain, the part of the brain that is associated with higher mental functions, the thinking, abstract thoughts, or planning for the future. Article skips down. And ends with this. The research doesn't reveal whether the improvement lasts very long or whether it diminishes quickly, but it seems reasonable that this bit of mental stimulation works for the brain like exercise works for the body. The more you do it, the more those muscles, including the ones between the ears, stay in tune and function more efficiently. Lots of questions remain unanswered, of course, because this is a complex area of research, and it's pretty new, despite the fact humans have wondered about the effects of music for centuries. It's a provocative area of research, says Emery, who plans to do more in the future, but for now he's going to concentrate on his bike and walking upstairs instead of taking an elevator and remaining physically active, and, of course, just listening to music. This final article comes to us from The Week magazine, published on January 14, 2011. Critics' Choices, the best albums of 2010. We'll start at number 10 and work our way to number 1. According to this meta-analysis of rock music, the number 10 was The National, was the name of the group, and High Violet was the album. Number 9, Beach House, was the name of the group. Teen Dream is the album at number 9 of the year. And number 8 of the year was the Black Keys, Brothers. Robin is number 7 with the album Body Talk. And number 6 is Big Boy, Sir Lucius Leftfoot, the son of Chico Dusty, name of the album. Number 5, Vampire Weekend, and the name of the album, Contra. Number 4, Janelle Monáe, the Arch Android. And number 3, LCD Sound System, and the name of the album, This Is Happening. Number 1 is Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And number 2 is a local produced group, Arcade Fire, The Suburbs. Dissecting North America's love-hate relationship with suburbia is nothing new, but Arcade Fire has made the theme feel like fertile territory again, said NPR.org. The third album from the Montreal Collective focused on the suburbs, transitory nature, and found a way to celebrate and bemoan it simultaneously. While indie rock is usually self-conscious, the suburbs isn't afraid to be anthemic and big, and the lyrics of singer Wynn Butler team with acute observations. The result is a perfectly crafted mix of sun-drenched nostalgia and cynical disdain. Once again, coming in at number 2 for the best albums of 2010, Arcade Fire, The Suburbs, done at Merge Records here in Durham, North Carolina.
Like a record that's skipping, I'm a modern man. And the clock keeps ticking, I'm a modern man. Makes me feel like, makes me feel like, in my dream I was almost there.
Arcade Fire. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Question number 1 was, which movie included the song Rock Around the Clock? Well, the film that used that song was Blackboard Jungle, a 1955 social commentary film about teachers in inner city school. The film marked the rock and roll revolution by featuring Bill Haley in his comments, Rock Around the Clock, over the film's opening credits, as well as in the first scene, in an instrumental version in the middle of the film, and at the close of the movie, establishing that song as an instant classic. Popularized by its use in the film, Rock Around the Clock reached number 1 on the Billboard charts and remained there for 8 weeks. The music also led to a huge teenage audience for the film, and their exuberant response to it sometimes overflowed into violence and vandalism at screenings. In this sense, the film has been seen as marking the start of a period of visible teenage rebellion in the mid-20th century. And the second question, which Eagles song was their first number 1 single? Well, that was Best of My Love, the band's first Billboard Hot 100 number 1 single. In March 1975, the song also topped the Easy Listening adult contemporary chart for 1 week a month earlier. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time. Keep exercising.